We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shout out to Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Well, we were just referencing it last segment. It is a piece of audio. You know, we haven't played it in a long, long time on our show, but it certainly was notable when Doug Peterson announced the injury to Carson Wentz. He quickly pivoted to basically a message of, hey, this season's not over. This season is not over. Let's hear this audio, and then we'll get Ray's reaction, because I know Ray has referenced it a couple times in our show just in the last year or two. This is the day after the injury to the game in the Rams, the injury, the announcement, and Doug's message. And this isn't even all of it, because he even said other things later in this press conference, like if there's ever a time for a coach to, you know, something like put the team on his shoulders or lead a team, something like that. Doug was a real leader that day. Here's Doug announcing the Carson injury and then saying, hey, this thing ain't over.
You know, I'm glad we're playing this audio on Doug Peterson Day here on WIP, because, Ray, I know that audio has always resonated with you and his message that day.
His finest hour. I really thought that. I really did, because I was a guy that I was not a Doug believer when he got the job, and I still had my doubts that season, even though things were going along really well. But the time when he won me over was that day. And it was it's ironic that you said right before I came on here you had Dick Vermeil on. And Dick Vermeil is really one of the great leader coaches that I've ever been around, a guy that can truly inspire the troops, and Dick could do it. And it reminded me of when Dick, that one great preseason they had when Trent Green was lighting it up and the Rams had that powerful offense and it looked like they were on their way to great things, and then Trent Green gets hurt the final preseason game, and it's the same sort of thing. It's like, oh, man, it's all gone now, everything we built. And Dick came out and he said no. He said that, this hurts. I remember him saying, this hurts. He said, but we will rally around Kurt Warner and we'll play good football.
Yeah.
And this reminded me of that, because he's sending a message to the world at large. But he's sending the real message to his players that the mission hasn't changed. We're still going to do what we set out to do. We're just going to have to do it with a different person. And that's exactly the same kind of message that Doug sent out here, but again, did it in a way that felt genuine. Mm-hmm. When he said it, it didn't sound like a guy just saying what he felt like he had to say in that situation. When he said that, it felt real, and it felt real in that room, and everybody in that room kind of felt it. And he also went on to say, you know, listen, we're not where we are right now as a team just because of one. As good as Carson's been, we haven't gotten to where we are right now because of one player. You know, there's a great team in that locker room across the hall, and there's still a lot of great players in there, and we aren't quitting, so nobody else should quit on us. It was powerful. It was really good. And from that point on, I mean, that team just kept rolling. I mean, they did put Nick Foles in there, and they just kept rolling, and you know, the underdog thing took hold.
Yeah.
And everything just – it was one of those years where – John has referenced this, and I agree with him. It was a year where, to a large part, you say, like, kind of everything fell into place, and sometimes you have years like that. But a big part of it was, I think, the coach kind of created and sustained a climate that allowed that to happen. And that's to his everlasting credit.
No question. It's Doug Peterson Day here on WIP. Ray in studio with us for an entire hour. It's 215-592-9494. For you to weigh in. Also, at 1:30, we haven't played it in about 3 hours. We'll go back to how we started the show with a really nice montage of audio of Doug through the years. It's really good stuff. We'll play that coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's go to Adam right now. Adam, you're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing? Real quick, a couple things. One, you sounded great on the Russillo show. I just had to tell you that.
Oh, thanks.
Second of all, is it me or I feel like, let's just say Wentz played the same he was playing. They never pulled him. It seems like Doug Peterson's the lead Harvey Oswalt for all this. He was just the fall guy. He saw the reaction and said, we got to get this guy out of here. So, you know, we don't go nuts with the city. And it's a shame that Doug, on Doug Day, we have to talk about this, how he was the fall guy, I think. And
well, the Lee Harvey Oswald comparison is a little odd in my opinion, but you know, if you want to say it that way, you're entitled to. I hadn't ever thought of Doug and Lee Harvey Oswald in the same sentence, but you know,
would it kill the Eagles to maybe look at a defensive coach? They've had Andy Reid, then they went to Chip, and then Doug. I mean, like,
dude, I agree, man. It's still half of football. I agree, or you know,
yeah,
close to half of football.
That's just my take.
Yep, Adam, give me an oddball character from TV or movies.
My oddball is the Rob Schneider delivery guy from Big Daddy.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's a good answer.
Pick Rob Schneider in most roles, I would say.
Absolutely. Ray, where are you on the coaching search? I mean, first off, offense, defense, that's come up a few times. But specifically, is there a candidate or two that for you intrigues you the most? A still available candidate, by the way.
Yeah, Dable I've been interested in from the beginning. It sounds as if he's sort of taken himself out of the running.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like he's kind of said, nah, I'm good. I'll stay here in Buffalo. And look, if you're an offensive coordinator and you're calling plays for Josh Allen, that's not a bad place to be. And that's a team that's clearly young and on the rise. I can kind of get that. But he was the guy that interested me the most. Now, I don't know him even a little bit, Joe. I've never met him. Never spoke to him, but I'm just going by what I see on the field, and I love what I see in that Buffalo offense. I mean,
yeah.
I just love their offense
and the change in Josh Allen.
Yeah, and that's
wow.
Yeah, I mean, and the two kind of work together for me. I mean, when I watch the Buffalo team, and I see how that team has evolved offensively. Over time, most people kind of focus on the quarterback because he's the most obvious one, but the whole offense itself has really evolved in just in 1 year's time. I mean, last year they were kind of a plodding team that was struggling to score 14 points a game. I mean, now they're really explosive. Now, adding Diggs is a big part of that, clearly. But if you watch them, I mean, whenever they need a play. Man, they got a receiver who's like five steps clear of everybody, you know, and he's just able to scheme up plays in big situations that he gets guys open and he gets them the football. And the combination of the design of that offense, the way that everything sort of works together and one play kind of sets up the other, it's really a dynamic offense in its design. And you combine that with the way he has developed Josh Allen, who to me, coming out of Wyoming, was very, very much like Carson Wentz coming out of North Dakota State. You know, big, yep. Strong arm guy, small school, inferior level of competition, had a ton to learn. But you look at where Allen was when he came out of school. I mean, he was barely a 50% completion guy at Wyoming, Joe.
That's amazing.
And now he's completing 70% in the NFL. Now, somebody helped him get there. And I think give a lot of credit to him. But I think Dable has done a tremendous job building the offense around him and molding this kid into a premier NFL quarterback. Dable was my guy right from the beginning, but it sounds like he's not all that eager to jump into the pool.
So where are you on McDaniels? I mean, the odds jumped dramatically, Ray, about 2 days ago. You know, there was even the one, I forget whose agency, but basically it was put out by an agency.
Eric Bieniemy's agency.
Yeah, the expectation that it will be McDaniels. So since most people, I would say most people, think it will be McDaniels, if the Eagles get McDaniels, what do they get?
I never write a guy off before he's hired. I just think that's foolish and unfair. I think a lot of us were kind of unfair in doing that with Doug when he was hired.
Doug and Charlie. I've made that point earlier today.
Yeah.
Charlie Manuel and Doug, I think, were the two most criticized hirings upon them walking in the door in my lifetime in Philadelphia sports. And they are incredibly, ironically, the only two to win a title in the last 40 years.
You are so right. I mean, they're the only two that have won a championship, yeah. and no one came in under a bigger cloud than both of those guys.
Yeah.
Charlie, because everybody won at Leland.
Correct.
And Doug, because everybody remembered him as a bad quarterback.
Absolutely.
So I kind of get that. McDaniel, I never saw the McDaniel one coming, to be honest with you, largely because It's not Jeff's way of hiring a recycled coach. It's just not what he does. You know, all of his coaches have all been first time around guys, and I think Jeffrey kind of liked the idea of discovering coaches. And you know, Ray Rhodes was that. Andy was certainly that.
Yeah.
And then you know, Chip had never been in the NFL, and you know, and Doug came out of nowhere. And I think Jeffrey kind of liked that idea. So he had always resisted going to the recycled coach. So that's why I kind of dismissed the idea of McDaniel. So if he actually does bring in McDaniels, that'll be a significant change in direction for the owner.
Is he liked NFL circles, McDaniels? I mean, I've heard that he is not a particularly embraced guy in NFL circles. Have you heard that?
He's very Belichick-like in terms of his personal manner.
Yeah.
He really is kind of like Belichick in the sense that he is certainly not Mr. Warm and Fuzzy. Did not leave there. Nobody was shedding tears in Denver when he was let go. Let's put it that way. There's a little bit of a Chip Kelly abrasiveness about him and kind of a know-it-all kind of quality. In some ways, in terms of his temperament, at least what I have heard about him, it's almost Kelly-like, which I thought would scare Jeff off, if anything. But apparently he had a great interview, and it does appear as if he's the leader in the clubhouse. But, you know, Jeff's continuing to interview other people, and maybe somebody comes in and blows him away. But if it's McDaniel, I'll have to say I'm surprised because he was not one of the people I was thinking about. Dable was the first one I thought about.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to this tremendous montage of some Doug audio through the years in just a moment. Let's go to the phones right now and get to Channing in Center City. Hey, Channing.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Channing.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to start off with my oddball character. I want to see if Joe's seen this movie.
Hmm.
And if he didn't, I'm really going to judge you. All right, my oddball character is Beetlejuice.
You know what?
It's a great answer.
The answer, it is a good answer. No, I mean, I have not seen it all. I've seen parts, but
You haven't seen Beetlejuice, man?
It doesn't really appeal to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're missing out, Joe. That's really a good movie.
It is a great movie, yes.
Joe, absolutely. How could that movie not appeal to you in 1988?
Because I was too busy watching Rocky for the 70th time at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. Probably the 30th time in 1988 I seen
that Rocky. DVD's probably got scratches on it.
It's a great
DVD. I got Rocky on VHS.
Tell me you still don't got the VCR.
I swear to God. I still have Rocky on VHS. 100%
so.
True.
And you had the VCR to play it?
Yeah, at my mom's house, and we still have the VCR, so I can watch all the old, you know, VHS stuff.
Does your mom indulge you with this sort of thing? Like, do you sit there and watch these movies with her?
I mean, occasionally, but not too often, but every once
in a while. That's nice. That's a nice family moment.
Exactly.
It's time to update, man.
Real quick, guys, the Meryl montage. Every time I hear that, man, it gives me chills. Yeah. Like, I think of when we finally won and that ball dropped in the end zone and give my cousin a hug and crying and then taking that Broad Street line down to City Hall. I mean, that's a special moment for me.
Big time, man. Big time.
But I think Doug, man, I think he was given a bad rap, especially when I listened to Brandon Graham yesterday talking about that Doug wasn't really given a fair shake or he really wasn't given the time to imprint on his players the way he would in a normal season. And I just think he was given a bad rap this year. And I think we made a mistake, honestly. I think he should have got one more year, and especially with a Super Bowl winning coach in a COVID year. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you speak of what Brandon Graham said, but he said something else along the lines when he was asked how is Doug willing to be a disciplinarian? And he said, you know, Doug's doing a better job with that sort of thing. To me, that speaks volumes too, because that suggests that he was not a disciplinarian. And now he's trying to get a handle on that. And that's a problem for me.
John, does that still work?
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
That type of coach like Harry High School, that type of coach in the NFL, especially with the social media and these kids that are coming up, it's just a different type of person.
I understand what you're saying, but Coach Vermeil came on our show earlier today and said the one common thread that he's discovered through all the years of coaching is that great players, they crave discipline. They want to have a coach who instills discipline in the team and expects it from them, and that's the glue that holds it all together. So I do believe that it works. I don't know that from firsthand experience because I've not played in this NFL, but I think that's something we sorely miss.
Well, and John, you would know this way better than me, and Ray, all your years, you would know this better than me, but I'll just, from my standpoint, I view it this way. The type of old school discipline that used to occur is I think very clearly met with resistance now by a new generation of people that are, you know, athletes in their 20s and early 30s. But so maybe the old school can't work. But here's what I know for sure cannot work: undisciplined.
Right.
There's a needle you got to thread.
Well, hey, we saw it on the field every week.
Exactly. No, that's true this year. Like, Bobby Knight's not going to work anymore. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to work, Bobby Knight. But undisciplined absolutely will not work.
Yeah, maybe a new methodology to achieve the same ends, which is a team that's cohesive and knows that they're holding one another accountable.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get to this audio. We played it once earlier. It's really good stuff. Jack Keffer, our assistant program director here at WIP, put together a real nice montage. It's just kind of, you know, a lot of stuff from Doug through the years. Listen to it. It's mostly in the positive side. Obviously, the Super Bowl parts in there. Here it is, the montage of Doug Peterson through the years. And there it is. A couple of funny things there in the end, but a lot of poignant stuff. It really is. It hits you. Well, Ray, we have a Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park. You can watch and wager on all pro sports action at the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question on Doug Peterson Day here on WIP is Doug Peterson your favorite coach in Philadelphia sports history? A, yes. B, no. I've been torn all day, but the more I think about it, my answer would be no. And I love him. I love him. But as a kid growing up, it was Buddy for me. As someone who has gotten to know some of the coaches on a personal level through the years, I mean, Charlie, no question, and Dick Vermeil, no question. Guys I've gotten to know personally. And then there's others. I mean, Boa, I mean, I know Boa. Boa's great. I love these guys. So I'm going to say no on Doug, but doesn't mean I don't love him. John, where do you think the results come in? Is Doug your favorite coach in Philadelphia sports history? A, yes, B, no.
It's a tough one because when you think of Dick Vermeil, when you think of Andy Reid was here forever.
Andy Reid
is what built this Eagles powerhouse that was, you know, for decades. I think it's going to be a smaller number than what you'd expect on Doug Day. So I'm going to say maybe 30%.
Well done.
Wow.
32%.
That was a hard one, too. Good work, man.
Plus, Ray, then you got all the colleagues. I mean, I wasn't even thinking earlier about Chaney.
Jay Wright.
Jay, you know, all the big five guys. So what would be your answer, your favorite coach in Philly sports history?
Well, not to diminish Doug on Doug Day, because I like him very much. Yeah. I think he's a really good guy. I think he's a good coach. And I certainly think his career is far from over. So I'm rooting for the guy. But my favorite coach, and it's not even really close, is Dick Vermeil. Because I took the whole ride with Dick. You know, I was the beat guy when he got hired in 76, and then I covered the team right on through 82 when he stepped down. So he's my favorite guy. I mean, he's unique among all coaches that I've been around in any sport in any city. He's just a unique individual. And so he's my number one. He would be.
Great answer.
Incredible answer. Yeah.
Incredible. I feel strongly about that one, too. If I didn't know Andy, Dick Vermeil would absolutely be my answer. And I've only been, like, personally interacting with him a couple times in my life, but they've all meant something. You know, like, it's memorable. You interact with Dick Vermeil, he makes you feel special.
Yeah, he does. That's a really good way to put it.
That's a very good way of putting it, John.
You know who I'll always like, even though it really ended rough and not too long ago? But I will always be a fan of Brett Brown. I mean, likable dude. Didn't work. Didn't get to the title. I mean, but will I always root for Brett Brown? Absolutely. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I will. Mm-hmm. Ray, magnificent stuff as always. By the way, next Wednesday.
Yes.
Carson Wentz apology show when you're in here. We got a whole day carved out.
We don't know for sure.
Where these two knuckleheads.
I disagree about this concept. Ray, maybe this is part of the punishment, by the way.
But that's no, another,
we revamp that dumb idea.
Someone suggested we should do a Joe DiCamera roast day.
Yes.
Maybe we can combine the two.
To replace that.
Yeah, it might not be the worst idea, but I don't think the timing is right.
Uh-huh.
I think you got to wait to see if Carson's going to be back.
It's inconclusive.
Yeah. Well, it's an open-ended question. I think you need a little more clarity.
By the way, just so you know, you might not know, it's them apologizing to me for me being right about Carson and them being wrong that he stinks. Just so you know. Yeah, well, I'm not apologizing to Carson, just to be clear. All right, Ray, we look forward to next Wednesday with you.
I look forward to
it
as well.
No, we don't look forward to that.
It should be quite a show. Joe DiCamera and John Ritchie, Time's Yours next, and more phone calls on 94 WIP. Hey, the playoffs, a wonderful time of the year. Can't wait to bet. Of course, so many can. On all the action with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. If you've never tried FanDuel before, well, the playoffs, the perfect time to give it a shot, because right now new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team. That's right, any team to win during the conference championships this weekend. And you heard me right there when I said 25-1. Think about it, 25-1 odds. You get to pick the team, obviously, amongst the four teams, the two games, and you just pick the team. It's an amazing offer, but it's only there for you on FanDuel Sportsbook when you sign up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER with FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of Radio.com and 94WIP, and promo code HAMMER to lock in on these amazing 25-1 odds with FanDuel Sportsbook.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.